T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Where is the impeachable offense in that call? Are either of you here today to assert there was an impeachable offense in that call? Shout it out. Anyone?
He was cut off. That was Representative John Ratliff, cut off by Schiff not too shortly after that.
Of course. Yeah, of course he was, yes.
So we had the whole hearing yesterday. We still have no idea what the impeachable offense was. We have no idea what the criminal offense was. We have no idea what the statute was that was broken. We just have no idea. We know nothing.
And nothing new came out yesterday at all.
No, there was absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And you can see what their gambit was yesterday, because they have nothing, right? So, like, what do you do when you have nothing? Well, you do exactly what Ambassador Bill Taylor did. He went on his opening statement was 41 minutes long. I was making dinner and making the kids lunch while I did it, and it went on and on and on. After a while, I'm like, good God, is this going to end? And he's like, and the whole thing is okay. And then that was a meeting on the 12th. And then I was talking to this other person. And then this person was talking to me. And he told me that he had heard from another person. I mean, it literally went on and on and on and on and on and on as he explained why he believed there was a quid pro quo. Like, why he personally believed that, right? So 41 minutes. If you weren't doing this for a living, your eyes would have glazed over and you would have tuned out after that. And that was exactly the goal, I think.
Even if you were doing this for a living, your eyes would have glazed.
Yeah, actually, they did. Yes, exactly. And normally this kind of thing, I got to tell you, so I go home, make the kids lunch, I make our dinner or whatever, and then I take my nap, right?
Yeah.
So normally, like, if I watch a thing like this, it gets me so wound up I can't sleep, right?
Yeah.
I went right to bed like a baby.
I bet you did. Yeah.
I was, honest to God, I was not wound up. And I was almost thinking to myself, oh, I'm not going to sleep today. I'm going to be so pissed off and wound up after watching this. And I wasn't. I was just like, okay, yeah, whatever. I had no problem. So the whole thing is 41 minutes of Ambassador Bill Taylor laying out in excruciating detail the emails and the phone calls that he overheard and some that he what he thought people thought, you know, and how he came to the conclusion secondhand that there was a quid pro quo. But honest to God, 41 minutes. The only thing you needed to hear was this.
Mr. Goldman, what I can do here for you today is tell you what I heard from people.
Yes, he could have just said that, but he went on for 41 minutes.
Yeah.
And again, I think I am certain that his opening statement would have been approved by the Schiff Show. And so I think that was the goal. I think just talk till people's eyes glaze over and most of Americans tune out so that you won't hear the important part. You won't hear the important part. Okay. The Ambassador Bill Taylor admits, I have no firsthand knowledge. So John Ratliff points out, Lee, okay, well, there is somebody that we know of who does have firsthand knowledge, and that person is the president of Ukraine, right? He's a direct source, unlike you, sir.
Yeah.
And he is on the record saying no quid pro quo, no pressure, nothing, no bribery, nothing. So I think they did the 41-minute statement so that you wouldn't hear what I'm about to play you, which is John Ratliff destroy him in under 5 minutes. This is what he says to Ambassador Taylor. He says to Taylor, listen, the president of Ukraine, first-hand source is saying there was no quid pro quo. So are you asserting here this morning that he is lying?
On October 10th, President Zelensky held a press marathon with over 300 reporters where he said repeatedly and consistently over hours and hours that he was not aware of a military hold during the July 25th call. There were no conditions on the investigation, either because of arms or the situation around Burisma Company. He told Reuters there was no blackmail. He told the LA Times there was no pressure or blackmail from the United States. He told Japan's Kyoto News, I was never pressured and there were no conditions being imposed. He told ABC News and the BBC, "I'm against corruption. This is not corruption. It was just a call." The Ukrainian president stood in front of the world press and repeatedly, consistently, over and over again, interview after interview, said he had no knowledge of military aid being withheld, meaning no quid pro quo, no pressure, no demands, no threats, no blackmail, nothing corrupt. And unlike the first 45 minutes that we heard from the Democrats today, that's not secondhand information. It's not hearsay. It's not what someone overheard Ambassador Sondland say. That was his direct testimony. Ambassador Taylor, do you have any evidence to assert that President Zelensky was lying to the world press when he said those things? Yes or no?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can respond.
My time is short.
Your time
yes
is
or
short.
No?
That's right. I have no reason to doubt what the president said in his...
Okay, very good.
Okay, we're done here. Let's go home.
Yeah. Well, this, to me, this whole thing... particularly with these diplomats, these are career diplomats. This is the deep state reacting to an outsider. And that outsider, of course, is President Donald Trump. They have the concept that they think they know better, that they are educated in foreign policy and international relations. They know the nuances of how this is done. They know all the ways to do this in a certain polite way. And what we have is an outsider, Donald Trump, who is very direct, sometimes abrupt, sometimes using some interesting language, but gets the job done. And the thing I want to ask is to these people who are trying to claim that they are so proficient in international diplomacy, how have things worked out in the world over the time that you've been in power? Not too good. Last I checked, the Russians invaded Ukraine and took Crimea, and you did nothing to stop it.
And here's another thing. Where were these people when Congress allocated money for arms to stop the Russian invasion of Ukraine? The idea was to arm the Ukrainians, right? And Obama went, nah, I'm more down with the Russians than the Ukrainians. And he sent blankets instead.
Yeah.
Where in the Hades were these people? Because it was 41 minutes from Ambassador Taylor and then the other guy, Kent, going on and on about how terribly sad it was that, you know, while Trump delayed the, delayed the aid, you know, Ukrainians were killed fighting Russians. And the implication of it all was that Trump had done this for Putin. He was like, you know, he's given Putin a helping hand by delaying the aid, too. You know, we can all see the Russian conspiracy here. All right. Well, where were y'all when Obama took the money meant to be used for aid, like as in arms, and gave them blankets instead so the Russians could steamroll over them? I mean, even the irony yesterday of hearing the, you know, they even used, well, the poor Ukrainians had to fundraise on GoFundMe to buy arms because of what Trump did. Yeah, you want to know when that fundraising started? When Obama sent them blankets. Where were you guys?
Yeah.
Where were you? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we support Obama. We just kept our mouths shut. Okay, you're biased. Bye-bye. Listen, here's the only thing you need to know about these witnesses, okay? They're planning right now, okay? They're planning to bring this woman forward to testify because she cried when they had her down in the basement. They're going to try to get people to feel badly about all this because they got no facts. They got no broken laws. So we're going to go with feelings. But they got a problem. Only Ambassador Sondland has direct info. He's the only one who's ever spoken to Trump. And the one conversation he asked Trump, is this a quid pro quo? And Trump says no. So I can't wait to see how they twist this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
deadline for filing in New Hampshire next for president Friday. Man, they're dredging. They are dredging for something. So they're going to, what, they're going to tee up Deval Patrick? Is that the plan? Let's see, Deval Patrick. Where might he hurt Elizabeth Warren? Oh, I know, Massachusetts. She's a senator from Massachusetts. He's former governor. Which is why she was out yesterday saying, well, I'm going to die. No, I predict I'm going to get the nomination. You know, okay, why is all this happening? It's fascinating to watch. Why is all this happening? Deval Patrick, maybe run for president. Probably run for president. I don't know. Bloomberg, Doomberg, whatever. What does this tell you? Why are these people getting in? I mean, Doomberg closed the door on this. But the kind of statement you don't make when you mean to reopen it. Remember what he said? He said, I can't run. I'm a white guy. I'm not going to apologize for being white to win a Democrat primary. And then he said, I'm not going to apologize for enforcing the law to run in the Democrat primary. He said, all these crime bills we passed were good. Remember, Bloomberg pioneered, well, at least during his tenure anyway as mayor of New York, he pioneered search and frisk. Frisk and search and frisk, whatever they call it.
Stop and frisk.
Thank you. Backup brain. Thank you, producer Chris. That's why they pay you the big bucks. So he's shaking his head. No, they don't. anyway, yeah, stop and frisk. That's why he pioneered. Did they find out he's going down in flames? I mean, so in his exit statement from the race, he said, no, I mean, we should be doing, you know, anti-crime stuff. Well, I mean, you know, Democrats in the primary, man, those voters are for anarchy. He didn't expect to get back in. What does it tell you? The internal polling sucks on these people. It is as bad as you would imagine. And when you look at who is getting in, who's being tapped on the shoulder, you don't go do a thing like this unless you think you're going to have some money. The guy from the same state as Elizabeth Warren. Massachusetts going to divide that support right up, right? This is aimed at her. And then I've been telling you this. You saw what they did to her on Saturday Night Live. They tore up, I mean, it was hilarious. They tore apart her healthcare plan by telling the truth. You never see a thing like that on Saturday Night Live. The truth about Democrats' healthcare? Are you kidding me? I mean, you are desperate. And they are, if Saturday Night Live is given permission on the left to do a thing like that. Her positions poll terribly. She polls terribly. I can even hear the internal polling the Democrats are doing. They're testing out, what happens when people find out that she stole a minority-designated position at Harvard by claiming to be an Indian? Then went and publicly DNA tested herself like a moron and proved to the world she's like the whitest person ever. Again, I had a DNA test. I have more Neanderthal blood on my mom's side than she has Indian blood. I am more Neanderthal than she is Indian. That's insane. 4%. Where do I go to get a Harvard teaching position? What, in antiquities? I don't know. So anyway, she's a mess. And then she comes out with her healthcare plan, and it's only going to cost like two U.S. economies. This is not going to work, guys. It's not going to work. Oh my gosh! Breaking news! I got to read this. One of you just sent this to me. Let's see. This is hysterical. Okay, Live 5 News. Consumer affairs study: South Carolina roads ranked worst in America. Not in Florence County. Did they look there? That's where we spent all the money. 20% of road funding money over 5 years sent to Hugh Leatherman's state. The study analyzed 2019 road conditions by states. South Carolina came in first place as the state with the worst roads, followed by Louisiana, Hawaii, Rhode Island, and Delaware. Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't even need to study this. All you got to do is drive around. I mean, like, what other states have shoulders on their roads? We just have crumbling gravel. And with everybody on their cell phones, you know, if they lived in a normal state where, you know, where roads had like, you know, shoulders or had been Their design had been updated since the 1950s. You know, you read a few texts at 55 miles an hour, you drift off the road, you can correct. Here, you're in the ditch, flipping multiple times. You have no idea what hit you. The study determined which state had the worst roads by comparing four factors. Amount spent per mile of road, motor crash fatalities on roads per mile. See, that's what sunk us. Percentage of roads in poor, fair, or good condition. Consumer Affairs email survey. Worst roads in the country. It's a killing field out there. And as I often point out to you, we are usually number one, number two, or number three in per capita death rate in the country. I will never forget. First year I was here, I lost my dang mind. I was looking at Mecklenburg County, where I'm from, which got about twice as many people as Greenville County. And I was just looking at a list of fatalities, driving fatalities. The number was almost identical for the two counties. Problem is, Mecklenburg County is twice the size of this one. And I went, holy cow. And then I read in the Greenville news, so it might be true, that our fatality rate is almost twice that. Driving fatality rate of the rest of the nation. It's insane. It's a killing field. And I think the roads have something to do with it. I really do. And then, of course, how people drive on them. You put the drivers with the roads, and then you bring in all these, like, you know, transplant drivers, and they've never driven on roads this bad. They have, like, real roads with actual shoulders where they come from. So, I mean, they think they can text and drive. Well, you can't do that here, man. There is no room for error. And there you go. South Carolina roads ranked worse in America. Thank you for sending that to me on the text line. Texter writes on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, they hate Trump because he is exposing how corrupt and useless the government people are. Now, the texter writes, the Trump resistance is like a slow, unpleasant drowning of a bucket of mice. They will fight to the end because Barr is coming to devour them. Oh, by the way, update on that. Bill Barr says, we'll see, he's our attorney general, that his report on FISA abuse is imminent, meaning it'll come out soon. A lot of people, it's supposed to be out weeks ago. A lot of people wondering where that is. A lot of people wondering where the stuff that Bill Barr is supposed to have declassified by now is too. Me, chief among them. All right. If you could not bring yourself to watch impeachment yesterday, I'm bringing you the pain-free highlights so you can know what's going on, but not deal with the pain of watching that much lying for that long on television. It's psychological torture. But these are the things I do for you. I listen so you don't have to. By the way, we have free counseling here today. Look, I know a lot of you are on Obamacare, which means you've got like a, you know, $7,000 deductible. So you can't afford psychological counseling. If you need help getting through impeachment, you can give me a call now. Now, it won't count toward your deductible, unfortunately, but the copayment is affordable. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. If you heard nothing else yesterday, this will suffice to let you know what a sham impeachment was yesterday. This is CNN's Jeffrey Toobin, alleged legal scholar and left-wing commentator.
Because the one criticism of these two witnesses, which I think is very much legitimate, it's not really a criticism, it's just a factual statement, is that neither of them had direct contact with the president.
Ever.
And you know, that's a problem if you're going to impeach the president.
I can't sit still laugh every time I hear that. But it's not, say the Democrat. No, it's not a problem. No, we don't need direct evidence because sometimes hearsay can be better than direct evidence. Okay, the lawyers out there listening are like, what? Hearsay evidence is better than direct evidence? Yeah. I'll let Democrat Representative Mike Quigley explain. He is a member of the Intel Committee. And, well, here's what he said yesterday.
I guess to close primer on hearsay, I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly an instance.
Well, gentlemen.
Lawyers out there. So, you're going into trial. Would you, I mean, if you could choose, would you rather have hearsay evidence or direct evidence? text me. Let me know. 71307. Yeah, hearsay evidence is awesome. Everybody loves it. Judge Judy wouldn't allow it in her court. But it's, I mean, other than that, it's totally great. Or something. Or whatever. This is my favorite from yesterday. And it gets to the heart of this whole direct versus hearsay evidence thing, okay? Ambassador Bill Taylor, if you heard nothing else yesterday, you heard this.
Mr. Goldman, what I can do here for you today is tell you what I heard from people.
Okay. So he's a secondhand source. Okay. Like, so who is a firsthand source but isn't there, wasn't there? That would be the president of Ukraine, right? That guy. I mean, he would know. He would be the victim of the alleged, what are we calling it today? We're calling it, they went back to bribery. I switched back from quid pro quo. It changes every couple of days. They don't know. So, I mean, you know, if we're talking about bribery, then the Ukraine president would have been the one who participated in the bribery. It didn't happen, but he would have. So he'd be like a firsthand source, right? John Ratliff devastatingly pointed this out to Ambassador Bill Taylor, who was left practically speechless.
On October 10th, President Zelensky held a press marathon with over 300 reporters, where he said repeatedly and consistently over hours and hours that he was not aware of a military hold during the July 25th call. There were no conditions on the investigation, either because of arms or the situation around Burisma Company. He told Reuters there was no blackmail. He told the LA Times there was no pressure or blackmail from the United States. He told Japan's Kyoto News, I was never pressured and there were no conditions being imposed. He told ABC News and the BBC, I'm against corruption. This is not corruption. It was just a call. The Ukrainian president stood in front of the world press and repeatedly, consistently, over and over again, interview after interview, said he had no knowledge of military aid being withheld, meaning no quid pro quo, no pressure, no demands, no threats, no blackmail, nothing corrupt. And unlike the first 45 minutes that we heard from the Democrats today, that's not secondhand information. It's not hearsay. It's not what someone overheard Ambassador Sondland say. That was his direct testimony. Ambassador Taylor, do you have any evidence to assert that President Zelensky was lying to the world press when he said those things? Yes or no?
Mr. Ratcliffe, if I can respond.
My time is short.
Your time
yes
is
or
short.
No?
That's right. I have no reason to doubt what the president said in his...
Okay, very good.
All right, Trevor, we're done here. I mean, honestly, they should have just shut it down at that point. We're done. The second-hand knowledge guy says, I don't doubt what the first-hand knowledge guy said. Okay, and the first-hand knowledge guy said what? To over 300 reporters, no bribery, no pressure, no quid pro quo. So, I mean, why are we even bothering to have a day two? I don't even know. But I want to get to something really quickly, though. I don't mean to pivot on you like this, but I got a lot to get in here. But meaning to mention this since listener Ralph sent it to me a couple days ago, because there's a thing going on. This whole charade with the shampeachment, who's driving it? Who are the witnesses? Who are the accusers? They're all deep state, right? Same story. Same with everybody persecuting Trump from the beginning, all deep state, starting with Mueller and then moving on, right? And something has happened psychologically in this country. You've seen this all over the place. I mean, shoot, it's all over the text line. Epstein didn't kill himself, right? It's a joke. It's supposed to be funny. I think it's a psychological phenomenon. And the guy who has written this at PJ Media nails this. Here's what he says. Democrats, libertarians, Republicans, independents, conspiracy theorists, and totally sane people finally have something on which they can all agree, which is rare in America. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. And it might be more than just a broadly popular meme, but also a symbol of a popular revolt against our so-called elites. This is a break. This is a psychological break in our country. That's what that means. It's not about whether Epstein really killed himself or not. It's that it's people saying, we don't trust our institutions anymore. If the FBI, if the DOJ says he didn't kill himself, that means nothing. If they say he killed himself, it means nothing. We don't believe them. He writes, there are two groups who don't seem to be enjoying all the dark humor, the deep state and the mainstream media. We used to trust these institutions implicitly. If the FBI said so, it was so. I mean, that's not just my opinion. That's a legal standard. I mean, the FBI, it's 2019. The FBI is still allowed to hand in 302s as evidence in crime in trials. What is that? Their handwritten notes. Did they record the interview? No, they don't have to. We believe them. That's how much credibility they have. They can put down in handwritten notes that you lied to them, and they can send you to prison. They can wreck your life based only on your word, their word. And their word's not good anymore. And that's what this Epstein thing means. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Folks, where did this start, this meme? I mean, it's been out there for a while, but where did it pick up steam? After we found out what? That ABC News deep-sixed a story where they had it all. They had the proof. They had the pictures. They had the Clintons. They say they even had Dershowitz. And then it went wild. Why? What does that mean? The Epstein didn't kill himself. It's only partly about Epstein. It is about a complete tanking of any credibility our institutions had. It's gone. That's why it's funny. What it means is, we don't believe anything they tell us anymore. That's a problem for a functioning republic. We have to have criminal justice institutions people can trust. And we don't. It's fascinating that this has taken on a life of its own. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Texter writes, that's not Barr's report. He was talking about Horowitz's report. Yeah, well, Horowitz works for Barr. So however you want to, you know, split that hair, we can do it. Texter writes, Tarrant was an open-faced shift show sandwich yesterday, a heaping pile of innuendo spread over lies with a side of hatred served up hot but received cold by real Americans. Ooh, that was well put. Now the texter nails this. The road tax, by the way, we're talking about the fabulous award we've just won. Did you see? Consumer Affairs Study, South Carolina. Roads rank worst in America. We're number one. Crappiest. Study analyzed 2019 road conditions by state. We came in first with the worst roads, followed by Louisiana, Hawaii, Rhode Island, and Delaware. We're a mess. It's the whole thing's a mess. Yeah. All right. Back to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Texter writes, hey, Tara, some places in Europe drive on the left. In South Carolina, we drive on what's left. So says Tony in Pickens. Good morning, Tony. Okay. Another texter writes, the road tax, this is the one I was talking about earlier. The road tax was not for the roads. It was for unfunded liabilities. Cities and states don't have the money to pay all the government employees, baby boomers that are retiring, so they raise taxes and hide what's really for. Yeah, they do. Yeah, no, that's right. Now, they're not going to use the road tax money for that stuff. That's not true. But what they do is when they increase road spending through new taxes, guess what? They don't need to spend more money from the general till on roads, and they can spend it on other stuff. So it's a shell game. That's what it was. Texter writes, new asphalt on Route 123 between Liberty and Clemson and new gravel along the edge. Another texter writes, in criminal court, an attorney will object every time to hearsay evidence. Yeah, of course they will. We've all seen those legal shows. It's nothing but hearsay evidence. With people who have actual evidence, like the whistleblower, excluded from testifying. It's a circus. It is. It's ridiculous. Texter writes, Tara, I know you're not going to believe this because of the state we're in today, but 30 years ago, we had among the best, if not the best, roads in the nation, and nobody had any real issues with driving. No, I remember. I remember. Because my first job was at the Fort Mill News. But I lived in Charlotte, and then my second job was in Charlotte, and we were writing about it then. I mean, the roads in North Carolina were horrible, and that one of the ways that reporters would delineate that was by comparing them to the roads in South Carolina, which were much better. That's all flipped today. You know what changed it, by the way? They got rid, North Carolina got rid of the vast corruption in road funding. It used to be that the governor would take massive amounts of contributions from developers, and then he would appoint them all to the state road funding commission, and then they would just fund roads wherever their development projects were. It was a disaster. We wasted all the money. The roads that needed to be fixed the most didn't get fixed. It was a mess. Well, that's how we still do it in South Carolina. We still have no funding formula that determines where the road money goes by need. We don't have that. And what turned the corner for North Carolina's road funding was when they got one of those. And so they had to figure in number of accidents, age of road, condition of road, and what was the other thing? I think fatalities or something? Oh, and traffic counts. And they'd put all that in a thing, and it would in a formula, and it would spit out what to fix. And that way it took the politics out of it. Well, I mean, when you live in a state like this where for 5 years, 20% of the infrastructure bank money, it's like $1 in $5 for those of you on Common Core math, went to Florence County, the home of Hugh Leatherman. Well, like, nobody lives. But Hugh Leatherman is the leader of the Senate. And it didn't go where it needs to go. They spent billions. I mean, so that's where the money went. I got great roads there in Florence County. Everywhere else, not so much. Texter says, I want Epstein evidence. Good luck with that. I mean, real evidence. Now the texter writes, thank God the gas tax fixed that problem. I think that's a joke.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.